This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. LGBTQ teens are dramatically overrepresented in the homeless youth population. Across the country, from 25 to 40% of homeless youth identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. A program designed to educate the public, reduce the problem, and help these severely at-risk kids stay off the streets was recently introduced in Cincinnati. The National LGBTQ Youth Homelessness Prevention Initiative, led by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, is piloted in Cincinnati and Houston, the only two communities invited to participate. Here to discuss the problem of homelessness for LGBTQ youth and the new prevention initiative are Kevin Finn, Executive Director of Strategies to End Homelessness, Meredith Hicks, Planning and Policy Director for Lighthouse Youth Services, and a young man who was recently homeless but is now working and living in transitional housing, Tevin Bruner. And thanks everybody for being here this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Good to be here.
You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Kevin, we've heard that statistic, up to 40% of LGBTQ youth are facing homelessness, but going beyond just the mere numbers, how serious is this problem? What are the hardships these young people are facing?
I would probably defer to Tevin to say a little more about the direct hardships since he's experienced it himself. But I think the youth in general, when they become homeless, have so many fewer resources immediately available to them to help them get out of that situation, that a situation that is bad for anyone is made that much worse for a youth who finds themselves on the street. That's why this initiative is really targeted on preventing LGBTQ youth from ever getting into that situation. And the plan that Meredith just recently submitted to HUD outlined the ways that our community wants to come together and target this issue.
Tevin, can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, what's that like? What is it like for an LGBTQ youth to be on the streets, to be homeless? How difficult is that?
It's pretty difficult because from being in foster care, having a high support system, coming down to nothing, and also with the struggles with coming out or how to tell your parents or finding somewhere to live or whatever, it's pretty difficult. It gets hard at times. Sometimes you feel like you want to just give up, but it's something always there to push you along and to let you always know you're going to make it out no matter what.
Is it a pretty desperate life, would you say?
It's pretty hard, yes.
Yes. Meredith, Cincinnati's been picked as one of two cities in the country for a new national initiative. That's the Safe and Supported Program, is that correct?
Yeah, that's how we've branded it here in Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati? Yeah. Okay. How did the program get started at the national level?
So at the national level, staff at HUD really recognized that LGBT youth are overrepresented in the homeless youth population, and they wanted to try something new and innovative to really develop some strategies and put some attention on this important population of young people. And so they designed this pilot project where they used a set of criteria, and they ended up selecting Houston and Cincinnati to participate in this six-month planning process. So Cincinnati was selected because we have a really strong continuum of care. So that's the agencies and services that support homeless people in Cincinnati and Hamilton County, including the youth shelter, the Lighthouse Shakely Center for Youth. So that's part of it. We have great, you know, data systems around homelessness, and we have a really willing and supportive community who wanted to work on this issue. So those were all things that kind of factored into being selected here in Cincinnati.
I think it's definitely worth mentioning too, though, that we have a very strong youth-oriented organization in this area that not every community is lucky enough to have, that being Lighthouse Youth Services.
Mm-hmm. And from what you're saying, Meredith, they saw Cincinnati as a place where we could form a collaboration that could deal with this mm-hmm. issue.
I think it also worked in our favor to be a part of this, that the national leaders were looking to work with communities whose learnings could be shared across the country with other communities. I think most people would probably agree that if you did an effort with LGBTQ youth in San Francisco, let's say, that people might think, well, I'm not really sure that transfers well to a Cincinnati or a Omaha or someplace like that. But I think part of we had all those things that Meredith mentioned. But I think the fact that we also are a size city and community in that where hopefully what we learn from implementing this plan will be able to influence policy across the country and be transferable into other cities.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that in 2014 we still have cases of children being turned out in the streets, kids being turned out in the streets because of their sexual orientation. But, you know, Tevin, in your case, that's what happened to you. Your mother turned you out into the street, correct? And, mm-hmm. and then what did your life become like? It had to be pretty desperate, living in recycling bins, living under bridges, any place you could find to stay.
Yeah, it was probably the most frightening thing I could ever go through, because not knowing that where you're going to be at or what you have to do to have something to eat in your stomach or something, somewhere safe to sleep, you wake up the next morning, don't know, the police might come raid the building or whatever. It's like, it's unexpected. You just live it. You basically live by the moment. You just can never plan how you live it by the moment.
Wow. So it's living by the moment. I guess it's got to be a desperate feeling, and you'll do whatever you have to do to survive in that case, mm-hmm. I would take it.
Yes. I think it's important for people to realize that certainly LGBTQ youth are overrepresented among youth who are homeless. But I can never resist the opportunity to share that, you know, youth homelessness in general is a much bigger problem than most people think. So we had last year 2,500 children under the age of 18 who were homeless right here in Hamilton County. We had an additional 1,000 18 to 24 year olds who were homeless here in Hamilton County. So 3,500 people age 24 and under who were homeless. That's 42% of our local homeless population. So youth homelessness in general is a huge problem, not a small problem. And then LGBTQ youth are a sizable portion and very much overrepresented in that large group.
Yeah. And what we're seeing statistically is that in the general youth population, only about 5 to 7% of young people identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. But with the clients that we're serving at the Lighthouse Shakely Center for Youth, which is the homeless shelter for youth ages 18 to 24, almost 20% of the clients self-identify as LGB or T. I say self-identify because many of them have experienced, you know, being turned out from their families. So they're not willing to share that personal information at intake, or they may fear for their safety.
So it's almost on the streets.
So it's got to be higher than that.
Yes.
Like, we know it's higher. So that's an underestimate. But
that's what I was going to ask.
We know in the data,
statistic might be underestimated.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Tevin, what was the turning point in your life?
The turning point in my life was basically moving here and getting connected with the Lighthouse Shakely Youth Center. From there, I got my own apartment. I got a full-time job. I have future plans on going to Northern Kentucky University and majoring in special education.
Why special education? Why teaching in particular? What got your attention on that?
It's been my dream since third grade.
Wow. So you've been thinking about being a special education teacher all that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your life is much brighter now. You've got to feel more hopeful.
A lot brighter. I never thought back then I'd be in this situation now. I never thought I will actually have a job or actually be able to pay, have money in my hands or like that, because I never thought it would be this good, but I love it.
I think that's part of why it's important that we have initiatives like this, because you would never want to have someone who, you know, I think Tevin would be a great special education teacher.
I do,
you know,
too.
But to have him have potentially not been able to get there, mm-hmm. because his life became mired in homelessness and there weren't resources available to help him get back to where he is now and where he plans to go, that would be a shame, not just for Tevin, but for our community.
Tevin, what you went through was literally life-saving, I would say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How exactly is Safe and Supported going to work, Meredith?
Yeah, so how it works is we just developed a community plan, which was submitted to HUD, and it what's really great about it is that we now have community consensus around 8 key strategies that are going to work to support LGBT youth. And these center around 4 core outcomes that we know are critical for youth to be successful. And Tevin just mentioned some of these. So we're really focused on social and emotional well-being, permanent connections, those long-lasting relationships that can help young people, stable housing, make sure they have a roof over their head, and then education and employment. So all the things that, Tevin, you just mentioned, you're now on a great path to. This whole plan is designed around helping all LGBT youth in Hamilton County and many homeless youth in general achieve these outcomes.
So there are a number of partners involved in this effort as well. And who are some of those partners?
Yeah, so we had an incredible outpouring of support. So, you know, Lighthouse Youth Services and Strategies to End Homelessness were, you know, leaders from day one, along with so many community organizations. So we have, you know, Caracol, we have the Office of Mayor John Cranley, who really stepped up, Cincinnati Police Department, public schools, Heartland Trans Wellness Group, GLSEN, Human Rights Campaign, YWCA, people just kept coming. We have faith leaders involved. It's an incredible collaboration of support.
Is that 15 so far? 15 yeah, or more?
Right. Yeah. So there was about 20 organizations that were just on the steering committee. And then we hosted a series of community events and they were standing room only. And so people just came out of the woodwork. And I think for Cincinnati and Hamilton County, this is the first time that LGBT youth have been prioritized in this way as a county and really having all this attention and focus on them. And so many partners, both LGBT identified organizations, service organizations, came together to really tackle this issue.
Well, keep talking about the response. It's pretty interesting. It's been very, very good.
Yeah. So we, I would say we've had support from the University of Cincinnati, both at their LGBT campus center all the way up to the president, who, some of his family members attended, you know, one of our community events. And we've had, you know, conversations with different foundations and with corporate agencies around here. This is really, hitting the heartstrings of a lot of people. Like, mm-hmm. we all recognize and we have LGBT youth in our own lives, in our schools. We recognize them as valuable in our community. And I think people see this planning process and this implementing this plan is a concrete way that we can make a difference in our community and these young people's lives.
Well, you're talking about the value. I mean, look at Tevin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's striving to become a teacher. I mean, mm-hmm. that's great. There's great value in you. And who knows what would have happened if you hadn't gotten the help you did.
I think it's very interesting as well to see how some of the collaborations will come together. I agree with everything that Meredith has said, but you know, my job is, you know, my organization coordinates the efforts of about 30 organizations that are all working on the issue of homelessness. So we have this pool of organizations all focused on homelessness. What has been interesting about this is while still talking about homelessness, so many other entities that we did not collaborate with before have come to the table as well, organizations that are more focused on the LGBTQ side of things. So it's sort of like taking two systems that previously didn't necessarily collaborate well together and bringing them together. And I think the collective impact of having that broader pool of community partners coming together is something that will help us move the needle on youth homelessness, but specifically with LGBTQ youth.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like if there's one key word in this whole thing, it is collaboration.
Absolutely. And one other piece of the collaboration I want to mention, because it's so important, is that Hamilton County Job and Family Services has been an incredibly active partner in this planning process. So we're really looking at LGBT foster youth and the experiences that they have in foster homes, and really working to support them specifically. And so that's been an incredible planning partner. And we have some great strategies to really work to recruit, you know, foster parents and make sure that LGBT foster youth have a supportive home to be in.
And so the planning stage is over now and the implementation is what is going on. How long is that going to take?
So the implementation is 2 years and beyond. And I say that in that this opportunity from HUD, we've written a 2-year plan, but our goal is to build in sustainability. So we're really looking at the community processes that are in place, trying to make this last longer than the two years that we have for this.
I really don't like to attach a time frame mm-hmm. to something like this, because to me, the beauty of something like this is getting entities that previously had perhaps all been interested in an issue but had all been moving in slightly different directions, all sort of rowing in the same direction together. And so you don't want to cap how long you're going to do something like that. I think it's very important on homelessness in general that we are being very strategic about how we're making the best use of resources. And the best way to ensure we're making good use of resources is to have all these community partners on the same page, pointed in the same direction, trying to achieve the same goals. Then we make sure that we're not wasting effort anywhere in the system.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Kevin, talk a little more specifically about the role that your organization will play in this.
My organization, again, coordinates the efforts of about 30 agencies, all specifically focused on homelessness. And that includes things like emergency shelters, such as the Shakely Center for Youth that we've already talked about. Also includes multiple homelessness prevention programs and really about 40 housing programs that exist in Hamilton County. So I think a big part of our role will be refocusing existing resources towards serving this specific population. So we have multiple prevention programs. None of them are specifically focused on youth, or even more specifically LGBTQ youth, but they could be. So we can look at focusing resources in that way. While we have housing programs in our community that are for youth, we do not have any that go further and are specifically targeting gay and transgender youth, but they could. And that is all just making more specific and strategic use of the resources that are already available in our community. Another thing, though, is we also work to make sure that we're bringing new resources to the table as well. So things that we cannot implement and make happen with the resources that are already available, we will look for new resources to make those things happen.
What kind of new resources would those be, Kevin?
Well, again, you know, going back to what I was saying about the collaboration, you know, there are funders who are interested in assisting youth and gay and transgender youth who maybe have never even considered funding housing programs. Well, if we could get them interested in providing housing specifically to this population, that helps the system as a whole. It's bringing new dollars to the table in a way that they don't currently exist. So I think there are lots of opportunities for us to do that.
What's involved in implementing this? You're saying 2 years, Kevin is saying you really can't put a time frame on it. But essentially, what are the steps you have to take to get this rolling now, Meredith?
Mm-hmm. So we're working to develop a community advisory committee. And so we had a really strong steering committee throughout the 6-month planning process, and many of those members will continue on. So we really want this to continue to be a community initiative, especially one that involves youth and families. We've had a lot of youth participation in the planning, and we hope to have that in the implementation. And so we really are, you know, having organizations step up to implement components of the plan that fit with them. So, for example, working within education systems to train their staff, some early intervention stuff to really recognize, help young people come out, help mediate with families, make sure they're safe. And so really just identifying organizations that can implement components of this plan, and then also identify funding for strategies that we don't have funding for right now.
Will there be specific programs aimed at outreach specifically to LGBTQ youth?
Yeah, so we're developing a resource guide that would be able to be distributed for all young people, so that we'll be able to, you know, get it to people who may identify as LGBT. So definitely one of the philosophies behind our plan is that we go where young people are. We meet them where we are. So we want to partner with libraries. We want to partner with rec centers and just really be in the community so that we can reach young people with these resources, with this information.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Tevin, from your perspective, after all that you've been through, do you look at a program like this and you say that's something that's going to make a real difference?
Yes, I can tell it's going to make a real difference because it gives us that type of support that we need to actually feel like we're wanted or somewhere we can turn to when we don't know anything else where to go.
And if you were going to give some advice to somebody who is in your situation, what would you tell them?
My message would be, as long as you love you for you and have faith in what you can do, anything is possible.
That's a good message. Mm-hmm. Did that keep going through your head when you were going through all this?
When I was homeless, most thing I tried to do is stay optimistic as possible as I can. And sometimes it was hard, but I tried to just wake up in the best predicament and just try to get out as fast as possible or however long it took.
Yeah. Kevin, is what Tevin went through pretty representative of what these kids are going through?
Homelessness is, some people tend to view it as sort of a one-size-fits-all situation, like people's experience of homelessness is always sort of the same, and I've never met two homeless people who had the same experience, so I'm always a little hesitant to speak in generalities. But I think the reality is that the majority of youth who are on the street would report that having been put out of their households and things like that for a variety of reasons, reasons like Tevin, but other reasons that youth have expressed, everything from their parents were very religious and they weren't, to they got caught experimenting with drugs and alcohol. There's a million different reasons why parents have sometimes, I don't understand it, but why they have put their children to the street. So unfortunately, it happens a whole lot more than anyone would like to admit. The real challenge of doing homelessness prevention in particular, which is what this initiative is trying to do, is being able to catch people early enough to identify who is going to become homeless before they are actually there. And that is why when you have a population like LGBTQ youth where they're at so much higher risk, you really want to focus your efforts there because you have a much higher chance of being successful in figuring out who is really about to be homeless and preventing it, when otherwise you may, it's very hard to know who's going to show up at the shelter door next.
Yeah. Meredith, how hard is it for young people on the streets to ask for help? And how do they know where to start?
Right. So I first met Tevin through the Lighthouse Youth Advisory Council. And so a lot of the young people that I work with, you know, when they're, you know, on the street or they're aging out of foster care into homelessness, their first response is, you know, peace out. You know, maybe I got this on my own. Maybe I don't. Tevin's nodding his head over here.
We'll have to get Kevin to weigh in on this too. So.
Yeah. And so I think that's kind of, you know, so a lot of it, okay, let me rephrase. So part of it too is youth culture, right? So they may rely on word of mouth, knowing where to go, where safe, finding out about the Shakely Center. Tevin and I were talking on the way over. A lot of youth have cell phones. A lot of homeless youth have cell phones. And so that's another way of conveying information. And we're developing as part of this plan a mobile application that will help connect homeless youth with resources that are LGBT supportive and friendly. So they'll be able to find a gender neutral bathroom if they need it. They'll be able to find a homeless shelter, a supportive place of worship. So those are some of the things that are unique to homeless youth and LGBT youth.
Tevin, was it tough to ask for help? Was it tough to find help when you were homeless?
It was the part when you don't want everybody to know most times, because you don't want everybody to know you're homeless, because they look down on homeless people. It's like, oh, you're homeless, you just want change or whatever. But some people actually go through a situation that they actually need help, and some resources didn't help, and some resources did, so.
People attribute, there's a lot of blaming of people who are homeless that really is not appropriate. You know, I certainly don't think that someone just because they're gay or transgender deserves to be homeless. But, you know, people also have opinions that, oh, well, you know, if a person is homeless, they must be mentally ill. Here in Hamilton County, a minority of homeless people are mentally ill. Or they think they must all have substance abuse problems if they ended up homeless. Actually, a minority of homeless people have a substance abuse problem in Hamilton County. So these are things that people tend to think, oh, well, all homeless people must have these kind of problems, which actually is not the case.
Right. And one added layer for LGBT homeless youth is that not all services are created equal. So we have some young people that come to the Lighthouse Shakely Center for Youth from Kentucky. So they went to seek help at a homeless shelter there, and they got turned out for being gay. They weren't able to fully express themselves and be themselves in when they're trying to access services and get off the street. So this young person found their way to Cincinnati and was able to receive supportive services here. So a lot of LGBT homeless youth have negative experiences and trauma or feel unsafe in certain environments. And so that's an added layer to asking for help. But having that fear of whether they'll be safe and whether they'll be supported.
And that's another part of the implementation we need to work on locally, is making sure that when youth do arrive at the doors of facilities here locally, whether they're from Hamilton County or from somewhere else, that what they encounter is a supportive environment that takes them in and meets their needs and does not turn them away because they're gay and transgender or for any other reason. You know, emergency shelter is, you know, just that. It's emergency, and we need to have facilities that are welcoming to people regardless of why they are homeless.
Yeah, and what would your advice be to someone who's in that situation, Kevin, regardless of the reason why they find themselves homeless? Is it don't be afraid to ask for help? Don't be afraid to reach out and go looking for help?
I would always encourage people to reach out for help because, part of the problem with prevention is we – in the current dynamic, we will always have some people who are homeless because there will always be people who do not reach out for resources or for assistance before they are literally on the street. So they can't be identified. People who, if they had reached out for resources earlier, perhaps we could have identified them and prevented them from ever becoming homeless. So I would always encourage people that they should reach out for assistance early, because then they show up on the radar screen sort of the services that are out there. And the sooner they're engaged in services, we may be able to, you know, turn around whatever their situation is and lead them back away from homelessness.
Meredith, are you optimistic that safe and supportive will be able to make a difference in the community?
Absolutely. I think with the overwhelming support that we have, the diverse set of strategies that we've set out, and we started with the needs assessment. We really listened to young people, listened to LGBT homeless youth. So I really think we have a plan that's going to work.
I think that last part Meredith mentioned is critically important because, you know, I don't have any idea how to intervene in a situation most appropriately like the situation that Tevin endured when he was homeless. So, I mean, Tevin really is the expert at what really needs to happen. So if we don't listen to youth that have been there in that situation, then we would just be sure to head down the wrong path.
Tevin, good luck to you. I hope you achieve your dream of becoming a special education teacher. It's admirable and it's wonderful, especially considering what you've been through in the past. And thanks to everybody for being here this afternoon.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kevin Finn is the Executive Director of Strategies to End Homelessness. Meredith Hicks, Planning and Policy Director for Lighthouse Youth Services. Tevin Brunner, who was recently homeless but is now working and living in transitional housing. After the break, the midterm elections are getting closer. Can the Republicans win the Senate? The Secret Service Director resigns after security lapses at the White House. We'll talk with political junkie Ken Rudin, also with WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson, and we'll have the trivia question as well. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.